Welcome to Unbounded Potential's Go Beyond series with your hosts, Karen King and Selma from Radis. Our mission is to help you tap into your innate potential by providing you with cutting-edge speakers and leading-edge information.
You will receive the insights, tools, strategies, and mindset that you need to empower yourself so that you can empower others as together we empower the world. Welcome, everyone, to the Unbounded Potential Go Beyond interviews. My name is Selma, and with my friend and co-host Karen, we are your hosts for tonight's interview. Now, tonight's guest delivers extraordinary, life-changing information about refining and synchronizing the body, mind, and spirit complex with astounding integrity, compassion, and knowledge. So tonight, if you desire a reading from Jason or have that one important question that has been nagging away at you that you want answered, hang on, press star 2, and when we come to that component in our interview, we will be taking your calls and, of course, your questions from the submission box. Now, remember in that movie, Jerry Maguire, where Renee says, "You had me at hello"? Well, that's the way we feel about Jason. From his first hello, he had us mesmerized on the limitless possibilities we all have here in this planet. And he's always, always introducing us to new information and resources to shift our consciousness to unlock hidden codes within our own ultra being. Oh, I like that word. You know, that can guide us to that next dimension. So, Karen, what else can you add about Jason?
Well, that we're his cousins. that he's remarkably gifted. We can add that. Jason Davis is a consciousness pioneer, astronomer, treasure hunter, shaman, businessman, and for the past 18 years, someone who has been described as the most experienced alchemist of the modern age. He has been involved in global, even galactic level work, helping tens of thousands of people, moving them towards ever-expanding consciousness. And what we also love about Jason is how he talks about alchemy as a path and a practice that allows us to listen to the voice of our own soul, that larger part of us that knows why we are here and what our purpose for this lifetime is. He makes us believe alchemy is about transmuting yourself into gold. It is about releasing your doubts and transmuting yourself into the gold of higher consciousness. Welcome back to the Unbounded Potential Go Beyond interviews, Jason Davis.
Thank you very much. What an introduction. I hope I can even come close to living up to what you just said.
Well, I'm sure you can. We have no doubts.
Yes, that's right.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you've really got us interested in, you know, in the title of tonight's presentation, the real Holy Grail is inside your head. You know, anytime I think of the Holy Grail, I'm thinking of that amazing movie, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, where the Holy Grail was said to have supernatural powers and the person that drank from that cup was granted eternal life and youth. But, you know, before you tell us the real truth about the Holy Grail, Jason, can you do an invocation of spirit for everyone on tonight's call so we can begin to be infused with, you know, the energy of this universe?
Yeah, I can. And something about the word alchemy, the very concept that I think is useful going into tonight's experience is that it suggests the blending of one substance with another. And if you take, for instance, the alchemist or practitioner and consider his or her energy being involved in that blending, the time that the blending is done, the status of the sun, the astrological symbol, the ruling planet, all that kind of thing, the beauty of alchemy is that you never know what you're going to get through that blending. And nobody in any sphere knows what you will get. It just has to be done. And that literally is why the experimental method in science came about. But that's a whole different conversation. tonight what we want to do is make it more than just be information, but a way to share information on levels of mind that are below consciousness. And so it's what we're going to be doing is using a lot of symbols and other methods to get information across, and therefore it's best if we can get everybody who is willing, open, and receptive into a deeper brainwave state, because this show will include, just as I just mentioned, words and other symbols that are most effectively comprehended on levels of mind that are removed from surface consciousness. That way, during the course of the show, while you're both quite conscious, you'll also be in a alpha or even theta state. And in that state, we'll be able to telepathically share with you certain symbols and meanings that might otherwise require too many words to get across. Does that make sense?
Very cool. Mm-hmm. This is very cool, Jason.
So, it's just so efficient to do it this way. It really is. And, eventually we'll dispense with language anyway, and so why not get started tonight? You know what I mean? But
our industry is out of commission, Selma, if we can't talk anymore. Oh, my gosh. What will we do? Find another career.
The same thing, only without words. And so, anybody listening, we would perfectly understand if you don't want to get into a deeper brainwave state, and that way just reject everything that we're saying, and you can just listen to all of the surface information that comes with this call anyway. But if you would like to go ahead and join us into a deeper space, let's start right now by closing your eyes and blocking out everything but the sound of my voice. Now, with your tongue touching the roof of your mouth and upper row of teeth, through your nose begin taking deep and cleansing breaths. Exhale through your nose slowly in a controlled and deflating way, and allow your chest to deflate at a pace that you control with your tongue or your throat. And throughout the evening, maybe return to your breath and just see what your breathing is doing. And keep breathing in this manner while it deepens your relaxation. And just allow your mind to go open and blank. Now we'll invoke universal mind to enter us, infuse us, elevate us, and interlace us as each individual together, connecting us with silken threads of silvery energy. Through this method, we'll take a portion of your consciousness and we'll all join in a single space, in a universal non-space, and be together there for a deeper union among we kids here playing together during this show. And now, it feels like we've got some beautiful receptivity and are really together in another very cool space, I might say. And so we'll just go ahead and start with this. As I talk, I'm going to pass an image or symbol telepathically onto you, and all you really have to do is just close your eyes and be ready to see it. If you don't see it, don't worry about it. It's maybe not how you're built. Some are, some aren't. Doesn't really matter. But of course, one of the things that we're doing is one way or another, you'll receive the information whether you see it or not. And certainly one of the things that could be going on as we all move forward together into this, magnificent age that we're living in, that those sorts of senses, most importantly, are the ones that are going to be opened up. If this is about anything, it's about opening new senses. So a good way to set this up is to mention that the solar system itself, and I think maybe we covered this a little bit in the last recording, but but it's good to revisit it so that we can set up a bit of a foundation. The solar system itself is passing into a segment of galactic space with different frequencies and energies, and especially, believe it or not, just DNA that lives in the mind, if you will, of open space. And because our sun, as any star does, has what we call a heliosphere, which is sort of like saying the atmosphere of the sun. That heliosphere is, of course, a sort of energetic enclosure that essentially protects the solar system from external influences that aren't in the solar system's best interest, and that could be almost anything, physical or energetic. And as the sun moves into the segment of space, it is changing the characteristics and energies and frequencies and patterns of the solar system itself, which is why the planets are heating up, and you know why giant spots are appearing on Jupiter and then disappearing, and there was not too long ago a dragon-like visage that appeared on the surface of Saturn and then also disappeared. And so there are many things going on in the solar system itself that of course affects every living thing in it. And obviously, most pointedly, our planet Earth. And because of that interaction, the sun itself is, of course, undergoing immense change. And through that change is passing on everything, all of those potentials onto Earth, its people, the consciousness of the planet itself, because it has to. It's like saying that this is the very reason that evolution takes place, and in fact this was a planned evolution simply because those who planned it knew what the sun would be doing, what our solar system would be doing at this time, and that's passing into another section of space. And that was also known because of our cosmological astrology. So that's a big part of it. And so it's useful to talk, well, right now, for instance, about the current sheet. The current sheet is an electromagnetic sheet that extends well beyond the perimeters of the solar system itself and isn't that thick and isn't that strong energetically or electrically, as an example. But we are talking about subtle energies almost always anyway. And those subtle energies could also, of course, as you all know, could be said to be consciousness. And so now if you could close your eyes again, I'd like to pass along an image to you. And that image could be described as the wavy ends of a ballerina skirt. And then if you took that ballerina skirt and turned it into a spiral, and then flattened it, you would have an image of the current sheet. And that current sheet is the central organizing element of the entire solar system. The heliosphere is erected around it, if you will, the positions of the planets, how they interact magnetically and gravitationally, for instance. It's the organizing principle. And because it looks like a sine wave or ballerina skirt, that is, in fact, a reference to the plumed serpent, which existed in Chinese, Egyptian, Mayan, Aztec, the list goes on, where we're talking about the dragon mythology, and that's what that actually is. Now, a bunch of times, for instance, during a year, the Earth is going to pass through the current sheet and then emerge above it, and then pass back through it and merge below it. And sometimes the way that the waves themselves are configured, there could be times that the Earth passes through it, not just from its own movement, but from, the shape of the waves themselves. And so part of what we're going to be learning, because we by no means have all the information we need, together during with some of our coming projects, that's what we're going to be doing, is figuring out some of this stuff on our own, where we're able to, as an example, perhaps map out in some way the way the Maya had it so fastidiously mapped, and so did the Egyptians, that we'll understand exactly what a sunspot is doing to a certain wave and how the Earth is going to pass through it and how we tune into it in that moment, and so on and so forth. And so right now, to take this a little bit deeper as a part of this immersive experience, I'd like to take you all into tune, more of an attunement with the current sheet. Now, a useful color for this is going to be violet and orange. And so just imagine a sort of waving electrical blanket, and then just immerse yourself into it right now, and through that be introduced to this type of energy. And I can feel many of you doing it right now, and in fact the sun is really liking this. And the products that we're making are all designed to maximize contact with those types of cosmic level energies. Now, let's parlay this into an understanding of, for instance, we'll start with the Egyptians, where they were thought of as sun worshippers, when that might not be completely accurate. It might be more accurate to say that they were participants with the sun in elevating themselves to certain levels of understanding and expansion. And the pharaohs and the court magicians, for instance, were all quite adept in the understanding of the science of the sun and how they would do much of what they would do. And of course, we realize that many of us were in Egypt, if not everybody here. And all of these things, by the way, were also practiced in a slightly different form in Atlantis, where they were more crystal-oriented in how they used energies and aligned things with the sun, whereas what we're doing with our effort is making it be more of an alchemical approach with things that can be that can ensnare those energies and which can be ingested and then used to modify DNA and so on. In Egypt, they were known as the sun slash sun. In other words, both spellings were legitimate, S-U-N and S-O-N. And so they could say, for instance, that the pharaoh was the son of the sun. And in another way to say that would have been that the pharaoh was the son of God. And that is what wound up being borrowed by early Christianity to ascribe to Jesus, who it was not a bad thing to ascribe to, because he himself was one of the adepts at the science of the sun. And so as an example, which I find very intriguing, found around the mid-1800s was a chalice, and I think it was somewhere in the UK, and it may have been, I don't know, it may have been Ireland, but I don't think so. It wouldn't be hard to find out, but it doesn't matter right now. It was called the Ardagh Chalice, and it was thought by some, including Maurice Cotterell, to have been made by Jesus himself. Because when experts like Maurice Cotterell get looking at that grail, it contains all the symbolism, math, and other esoteric symbols of encoding to illustrate to anybody with the knowledge that the chalice was a map of the super science of the sun. It had all of those things. And part of what we're going to be touching on in this show is that, for instance, carvings in Mexico of Lord Pakal, his headdress had an encoding of 144,000, in downright suspicious similarity to what was on that chalice. and so did Viracocha, as an example, and so did the Incan kings, you know, in much of their artwork. And part of that geometry, for instance, is something that I would like to share telepathically right now, if you're ready for it, is a spiral that if you took a swastika and straightened out the angles, that is the spiral of the electromagnetic energy shape being emitted by the sun. And the reason, for instance, that the Nazis took it and used it as a symbol, because all symbols can be used in powerful ways, and of course they were very magical in their operations. And so right now I'll just send you this spiral shape so that you can see that. And then invite you to tune into it a little bit more. And to know that, for instance, in much of the Celtic knot art, for instance, and some of what the Druids made, that spiral design is embedded in all that work. And because, as just an example, there was a trading tie between the Middle East and the UK, for instance, in northern France, there was a lot of spiritual commerce as well, and that is why it was thought that it was possible that the Grail wound up in the UK in the possession of Joseph of Arimathea. And he himself did, in fact, run a shipping operation out of the Middle East to the UK. And so that's, you know, it's a very viable supposition on somebody's part. To take it a little bit further, for instance, on that chalice would have been elements that showed that illustrated this 96 mini magnetic cycles in one solar or sunspot cycle of 11 years of the sun. And so to sort of tie all that up, we have the Celtic swastikas and spirals and knotwork, numbering systems, even Excalibur and the Grail itself all convey the exact same information found in the treasures of the world's sun-worshipping civilizations. And so they either were in touch with each other or they were taught by beings on higher levels, and it's probably that both are true. That brings us to how that all relates to the pineal gland. Now, as an example, when the Knights Templars returned from Jerusalem the first time and brought with them all of this alchemical knowledge on how to create just magnificent architecture, those projects were begun mainly in France, and they built, I don't know how many it was probably a dozen Notre Dame cathedrals. And perhaps the greatest among them is the one in Chartres, France. And outside of the church itself, the cathedral itself, there are a lot of statuary, and one of them is a statue of Melchizedek. And he is holding in front of him a chalice with a stone in it. And that stone is, in fact, the stone in its many aspects that is referred to as the philosopher's stone, or the stone from heaven, or the stone this, the stone that, the sword and the stone, so on and so forth. And that stone is actually a representation of the pineal gland. And so that imagery, by the way, hands holding a grail cup with a stone in it, is an archetypal level image that I would like to share telepathically right now. And so I'm sending that image. And that one does happen to be very powerful for those sensitive enough to feel what can emanate from an archetypal level of mind for such a symbol. inside the head, in that cavity in which the pineal gland rests, is an electromagnetic chalice-shaped field that the pineal gland rests within. And it functions as security, as an example, is not just going to let any energy in there to affect the pineal gland, because it's far too important. And it's important to understand that the pineal gland is composed to varying degrees of magnetite crystals, which are the crystals found in meteors, as an example, if you're to put it into a crystalline form. And that means that they themselves can, depending on what level of charge is going on, for instance, being fed into the pineal gland, can become an electromagnetic antenna, both transmitting and receiving. And so if, as an example, you are going to figure out a way to feed the pineal gland, it's almost always going to be with something energetic instead of something that can be ingested, unless whatever is being ingested itself creates a field that can intersect with that cup-shaped electromagnetic field that's surrounding it. And so as you begin to align that field and the way it interacts with the pineal gland itself with all of the new codes that are coming from the interaction with our heliosphere, the sun, and this segment of space that we're passing into, then the pineal gland itself and that field are going to begin emitting pulses of electrical-like energy that go through the brain and begin rewiring the brain in pathways that are necessary to imagine the new reality into being. And imagining that new reality into being is a feature of being able to modify the DNA, and the DNA is going to be modified by whatever the brain patterns want to do. And so that's how neurochemistry, as an example, is going to be modified little by little and in balance as we go along with how the brain itself is able to take electromagnetic fields and, for instance, amplify them. And just for the sake of example, if, for instance, you are going to create something on the ground right in front of you, the way that you're going to do it is by using electromagnetic fields. And that means that you would have reached a level of adepthood where you can yourself use alchemical substances to have taught you how to create these fields, and then with your own consciousness and intent create a field in order to do something with it. And that brings us really to what the whole meat of this discussion was about, was just how the sun, the pineal gland, how all of it relates, what we're doing with it, what our projects are going to be doing with it moving forward, and that kind of that covers that part of the show.
Jason, can I ask you a question about that pineal gland? And also, it contains the water, right? That crystal, so that's the form of a different kind of a communication, right?
Sure.
Don't they call that kind of like the waters of life?
That's one of the ways it's been referred to, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So even, a lot of us are using Peter's Aquaware. The intention set in some of the Aquaware intentions, that could ultimately feed the pineal gland as well?
It could, if it's appropriate, yeah, certainly.
Okay. To help activate it, to help its electromagnetic field grow, or... what do you think?
It could. It's the kind of thing where it's not that it's not capable of it. If you were going to compare the two methods, if you will, the alchemy itself is using stuff that is boiling away in the center of the sun, like rhodium, as an example, to create a field that rhodium in the metallic form, if you put it on your counter, it's going to be creating that field. You see what I mean? And so the rhodium knows its job, but does the aquaware or does the user know how to do that? You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I understand. Okay. That answers that question. Very interesting. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Why do you suppose that the Egyptians, the Mayans, and all these other civilizations had all the same symbols? How did they all
because
have access?
Because they could see them. You know, they turned what they were able to see into their artwork.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Kind of passed down from generation to generation then.
Okay.
Right, and strangely enough, you know, the symbol of 144,000 on Lord Pakal's headdress was itself almost like looking at runic symbols, but it's very clear that that's what it is, only it's a 144 and a zero, and then backwards 144 pointing at the same zero. And 144,000 is thought to be a number of people, and that could well be true, but in a truer sense, what that's a reference to is the speed of light as it moves through the curvature of Earth in arc seconds. I don't know if you knew that. That's what that's about, is actually the speed of light, and for us to be able to charge our own beings to the point to achieve that sort of light velocity internally.
Okay.
So Jason, you know, a lot of people in the dawn they go out and to do their meditation and maybe sun gazing. Is that because the Earth's magnetic field is the strongest, like at dawn?
I don't know if it's to say that it's the strongest, but one of the ways that dawn can be really powerful is the way that the ionosphere is reacting with Earth's own protective fields, as an example. I should say the way that the sun is reacting with the ionosphere. And during that time, it would be easy to picture that the minute that a given area on the surface of the Earth is exposed to the beginning of that light, that it is actually going to change the characteristics of dew. And so if you are outside, you know, every morning inhaling that dew, you're inhaling, for instance, a different ionic characteristic held in that dew because of the time of the day. And that's why collecting dew, as an example, was always an important thing for, you know, magical work throughout history.
Okay, I didn't know that. Boy, you know what? I'm feeling really not smart. I guess science is a magic thing.
Well, that's why we always learn, Jason, right?
And sun gazing is fantastic. You know, I myself don't do it. I sleep too late. But the... If as an example, you know, if you were to go out and do some sun gazing, we know that it's not as potentially dangerous as it would be in the middle of the day, because you are actually looking through more of the atmosphere, and therefore more of the atmosphere is protecting your eyes. But, you know, look at it like this. If there's just more of that atmosphere because of the angle, then that light, which is really just the chemistry of light, I mean, light is really its own sort of chemical, the way that atmosphere and the dew and the moisture and the ions and et cetera, all requalify that solar energy before it's taken in by your eye.
Right.
Right. Well, thank you. I'm sure our listeners have a lot of questions and everything else. I got a lot of hands up, but before we, you know, we're going to start that probably in a few minutes here, but we just wanted to let everybody know that Jason has reopened for you his special offer called the Potentia Alchemy, which includes products and services for spiritual growth and consciousness, which includes the two liquid alchemy sprays and the special 59 designed white powder, monatomic gold products. So, Jason, if you could just maybe, we've got a lot of new listeners on, maybe just talk about, you know, these sprays and the gold powder and, you know, what kind of benefits are people getting from using these products, and maybe a couple of interesting testimonials from people that have used these products that have talked to you about it?
Sure. Where to start on that? Because, well, it's not so much that as it is that the rabbit hole is pretty deep, and I just don't know where to start, you know, at what level in the rabbit hole to start, you know what I mean? But maybe we can put it this way, where we say that there is a great and intelligent being who is forever seeking to completely integrate with you. And it's easy to imagine that a being on, you know, some, let's just say, universal soul level is in fact just so much energy that it's no wonder that integration has to be done in steps. And so everything that stands between you and the integration of that being are actually going to be all the kinds of programs and beliefs and fears and just anything that is, you know, that exists in your own fields as densities that need to be cleared away in order to make you a clearer vessel for the greater acceptance and exponentiated acceptance of the integration of that being. And that being is just you, just from a much, much higher level. And so that's what the alchemy does, first and foremost, that it is made of substances that begin to bring about the often subtle alignments with cosmic level energies being communicated through the sun and energies that are specific to the sun, because you can imagine that there are other star systems where, you know, they've got a whole different alchemical process, as an example, and different substances to be used because of the composition and characteristics of their own sun. And so there are things peculiar to our star that we can get more in alignment with. And so as a byproduct of the abilities of the alchemy, aligning to those cosmic energies is more what it's about. And built into that process is the necessity to clear away the stuff that does stand between you and that level of code, frequency, and information. And therefore, that's sort of its third or even primary function, is to clear that stuff away so that these integrations can take place.
Can I share a story?
Just say this real quick. The package that we're offering tonight, and obviously many people are already using from as a result of the last show, is a great starting point for this process. And that's all I wanted to add.
Okay. You had recommended that my daughter start taking the sprays, and I gratefully gave her mine, and thank you. I have to say, I was like mesmerized. My daughter is so riddled with fears, and she has been all of her life. Well, she actually, she'd been using the sprays for just a couple days and decided that she would walk to mom's house from her apartment, which is a good 4 kilometers through the country on her own. She wouldn't ever cross the street alone, let alone walk 4 kilometers to see mom. Well, I don't know.
Wow.
I was just like the proudest mother on the planet.
I can feel her. She's really already made some major strides.
And I mean, she's only used it a few times. It's incredible. Even Selma was like, Selma knows my daughter very, very well, and she was like beside herself with, she did what? Does she have her cell phone with her?
Yeah, because she has a hesitancy even like crossing the street, and she's walking 4 miles. I'm going like, and I was talking to Karen on the phone. All of a sudden, the doorbell rings. She's saying, Here she is. I'm like, oh my
and
gosh.
And she took pictures with her iPhone along the way.
Phenomenal.
To document the whole thing, I guess.
That's beautiful. I love hearing that.
Yeah.
know you've got a lot more, you know, Thank like you. Testimonials, and it just, you know, people make such
I just,
a difference.
Can I just
there.
Read this one too that we found? Within a day or two of receiving, I started feeling some really deep peace and was centered in my heart area. It felt like it was widening for maybe 4 or 5 days. It also helped me in my massage therapy business to be much more effortless and using the same techniques, getting way more results. Also, I can sense things before they happen more frequently and consistently. I'm also happier and have lots more physical energy. The deep peace was very impressive. She goes on to say, also, I'd been noticing that my Great Pyrenees dog had been limping for a couple of weeks. I took him to my vet, and we did an X-ray of his back left leg. I asked her if it was broken. She said it was cancer of the bone. So we were sent home with medicines to keep him comfortable. Because of his size, approximately 130 pounds, amputation would not be an option. I started giving him the platinum, and only after one spray to his face, the very next day, he was running with his tail up and smiling and happy coming to greet me. I've gradually increased the dosage, and his all-around temperament seems much better. We're carrying on as normal with some extra yummy treats to give his medicine. No matter what the outcome, we are able to enjoy our time together right now. Thank you again for these wonderful tools. And that was Susan from North Carolina. So, I mean, the powerful stuff, but you know what? It's kind of fun, too. You just spray it. It's a great wake-up way to go.
And
I love using it.
Did you feel like a little bit energized and everything else
yeah.
there, too?
Just like
and also, Jason, you have the piece de resistance, as they say. You've got a rare component to this offer, and it's a private 15-minute consultation with you over the phone or Skype.
You lucky people,
can,
you.
You know, talk to you, ask questions. You know what, you know, so with somebody who, you know, do a reading, what are some of the greatest questions and concerns people have when they talk to you, Jason?
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, that's so wildly varied. It's unbelievable. And what we, for instance, found, you know, in the last offering we had the prism, and it was incredible how frequently the same symbols came up. And so I think that is a kind of really clear illustration of whether we're aware of it or not, we are connected in unconscious ways that are amazing. And therefore, many people's experience mirrors other people's experiences, right? And so this consultation, you could say that what we're doing is saying hello, we're sharing energy, we're sort of admitting our siblingship, if you will, and reacquainting and just seeing through the alchemy of our time. And it will by no means be limited to 15 minutes. It might take only that long, or maybe it takes longer. It's whatever the situation calls for and whatever the beings that are actually involved in those gatherings that we'd be having privately want to see get done. And if I'm capable, then I'm going to get a feel for and possibly some imagery that is probably going to be more symbolic and is going to be completely removed from conscious level type work. And those indications hopefully are what come through. I don't by any means profess to be a full-blown psychic, but I am shown things, and those things are always on an energetic level, and we don't question them, and then we just implement them, and then suddenly things either work better or health is improved or there's more energy or a lightness of being or whatever.
Okay, that sounds exciting.
And we always love our time with Jason.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
We've been spoiled, haven't we? We've been spoiled.
Yet.
We've had some fun conversations, haven't we?
I know we have. And it's always so enlightening. You always learn something that you didn't know before. So we're going to get to everyone's questions. Just as saying, the regular price of this special offer is $220. So we do have a special on that. It's $189, including shipping and handling. And, of course, the 15-minute consultation or longer for, personal channel help for, body, mind, and spiritual wellness. So if you want to read more about it, dear listeners, you can go to unboundedpotential.com/offers/Jason-Davis, DAVIS2/. All right.
Perfect. So a favorite component of our shows where our guest answers your important questions. And if you want Jason to chat with you, do a reading for you of some sort, if you're on the phone, press star 2. And, of course, a lot of people have already taken us up on that. Oh, there they go. Oh, wow. And we'll take questions from the question submission box for those listening on the web as well. Oh, my gosh. Did you see that, Soma? These hands are going up like crazy.
Holy. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I'm about to be
utterly exposed.
Yes, that's right. All right. Karen,
okay,
do you want to start?
Get started, yes. Our first caller, it looks like Anne from California, area code 707. You're on the line. If you could tell us your question for Jason, please.
Hi, yes, please. I want to thank you all for the program and Jason for the products. I love my prism and everything. And I was wondering if he could advise how I could be the best, besides using the products, if he has any advice for how I can be the best me I can be following my divine blueprint. Thank you.
By being aware of the fact that you are already doing that and increasing your awareness to that fact by being mindful of it, trusting the process, being wide open to everything, and most importantly of all, acceptance, total acceptance of everything in your world, everything you see, everything you sense, everything about yourself, everything about everybody in your life, your relationships, things on the world stage. Everything is about acceptance and becoming mindful of that at all times, where what you do is, for instance, you have a thought, or let's say you pass a judgment just in the course of any given day, that just being constantly mindful of it means that you're becoming increasingly aware of your thoughts of habit. And if you catch yourself thinking in ways that are less than totally accepting, for instance, any sort of a judgment, any sort, then you can take that thought, because that thought already exists, you had it, it's out there, it's a thing, it's affecting the world, and just take it up in white flames. Just imagine it being taken up in white flames, and that'll transmute it and remove it from the possibility of further weighing you down.
Oh, thank you. That's great. What do I do with things like in the world that really upset me, like animal abuse and stuff? Like, no matter how much okay, everything's all right and it will be and whatever, that stuff like really disturbs me. So when those thoughts come up, besides like white slating, whenever I have that, can you suggest anything else for that, or I just white slate all that too?
Well, it's white flame, by the way. And,
white flame, excuse me.
That's really, but I mean, just because you have compassion for the situation doesn't mean that you're judging it, right? But the one thing that you can trust is that on some level, any sentient being is choosing the experience, no matter what, that happens to be true. And
right.
That can be as tough as it can be to imagine with an animal, but it's actually true. And And that's going to be really tough for many to accept. But one of the things that all of this does, where you're talking about this blueprint, is that you are actually raising your consciousness through these systems unto the level of you know, a deity, for instance, or a god or a goddess, or however you prefer to put that. And even though there's great compassion, the way they think is that this is how it must be for now, as an example. And so you can continue with the compassion, and in so doing, you get to a point where it no longer affects you, and more importantly, the fields that you are, as an example. And then all of the letting go that is attendant with that sort of thing becomes a more automatic thing, and then pretty soon you don't have to be mindful of it all the time in your daily meditation of minding your thoughts, because it becomes so automatic that it becomes second nature. And then when it becomes second nature, you really begin to express your power.
Oh, great. Thank you, Jason. I will white flame everything that I noticed. It's a judgment, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Great, thank you. Okay, I'm going to take some questions from the dashboard. Jason, we've got Jeannie from Pleasant Prairie. Ooh, I like that. She's saying, my house has a negative entity in it. I have been unable to move forward in all areas of my life. I have gained a large amount of weight. Please help. My sister Rosalyn died in this house. Ooh. What could you say to Jeannie?
Is it possible to ask your question back?
Yeah. If she's listening, I'm sure she'll
hear it. Oh,
okay. Hear
okay.
It.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then let's ask this. Do you have the resources to acquire tonight's offering?
Okay. So what was her name, Salma? Jeannie,
yeah, Jeannie.
If you do, can you just type that into the box there? It might be delayed because I think sometimes the audio is delayed a few seconds. And yeah, do you have another question for her? Maybe she could answer two
at once. If as an example, she does have the financial resources to acquire that package, then we would begin handling it. This problem through that method right from the start.
Okay.
Which would be, you know, our primary purpose would be our beginning point in the consultation.
Right. Ah, right. That would be perfect.
But,
she just wrote yes. She does have the resources to purchase that. So. That would be
okay. Well, one of the things that is absolutely inescapably true is that whatever that entity is there also because of your own consciousness, and so it's that interaction. For instance, there is no ghost haunting anybody in the world that isn't a product of one's own mind to begin with. One way or another, that is true, and so. The alchemies begin a process of release so that we can bit by bit handle certain things without doing any damage to any sort of sentient being, because the being that she is talking about, and this being is in fact there, is a being that has a right to be. And so it's a process.
That's an interesting way to look at it. I like that. Okay. Hopefully that answers your question for now, Jeannie. We have, it looks like, Twin Cities, is it Minnesota, area code 651. If you could tell us your name and your question for Jason, please.
Hi, this is Julie. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi, Julie.
Hi. My question is, I've run out of ways to deal with my daughter. There's a lot of emotional issues, anger,
spray.
I mean, you name it. It just continues to get worse and worse and worse and worse, and it literally just, it sucks the life out of me. I've tried numerous things to even just help myself let it go and deal with it and not always be angry, but I'm completely at a loss at this point. I don't know what else to do. Any suggestions?
Well, you know, once again, do you have the financial resources to acquire the package?
No.
Ah.
No.
Okay. Well, you know, this would be a full, you know, a full-blown session, and I don't know how it's to accommodate that. A question for you. Have you, do you try to impose on her your image of what she needs to be?
Sometimes doesn't work. You know, this is not the person I, you know, taught her to be. She's just, there's just so much anger in her. You know, it doesn't matter what anybody says or does. She's
right.
Just,
how old is she?
20 now. This has gone on for years, years and years and years.
Have you, I think the best way that I can help break the second would be to ask you if you're familiar with the work of Byron Katie.
No.
Do you want to write this name down?
Yep. Okay.
It's B as in boy.
Yep.
Y. R O N.
Okay.
Space Katie, and that's K A T E I.
E I. Okay.
Yeah, I think so. And she, because what you could learn from what she has to say is much more comprehensive than we can really cover in this program. You'd get a much greater idea, and then maybe you can get my contact information from Karen and Salma, and we can talk further about it, because the approach that is given in her her type of psychological work is very practicable, and it's fast, and it can be understood on many levels. And ultimately, that's all I would do. We just don't really have time for me to explain it.
Okay, I will look her up. I appreciate it immensely. Thank you.
And I think she has a lot of YouTube videos as well. So, you know,
there's more than just there's more than just hope here, you know, because a big part of what's happened here is that even though, you know, yes, you've imposed certain things of images, you know, an image of what you think she needs to be, and that's the thing that you have to stop doing immediately, right?
Well,
because
it doesn't work. It just doesn't.
She's a great being that has assumed the controls of a body, and she can't stand being here to begin with, and she doesn't know how to lash out in anger, and living within her is a promise that will be fulfilled no matter what anybody imposes upon her. And so a big part of this process is going to be you probably sort of turning the tables and just finding out what you can learn from her.
Okay. I will do anything.
Be blessed.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Thank you.
Yes, we have a question from a caller here saying, how best to use the white powder that you've got on your special offer? What would you say?
In any way that is intuitively indicated. For instance, let's say that you put the vial in the palm of whatever your receptive hand is, and then just use whatever methods you like to use to get quiet and empty, and just see what comes. You know, you might get an indication that it's, you know, you're to sprinkle a granule or two on a plant outside, or put some in the corner of a room to add to the feng shui of your living space. But the standard is just to, you know, tap out a pile that might cover the area of a paper punch and just eat it.
There you go.
It could also be mixed a little bit with distilled water as an example. Make sure that the water is blessed and just mix a little bit of it that way and rub it into the third eye or any other chakra. A small tap of it can go into a bathtub. A small tap of it can go into a glass of water. It can be, you know, anybody, for instance, who works on, well, let's say in areas of magic like Wicca, would find a lot of uses for a substance like that to be used in ritual and prayer and ceremonial type things, and, you know, the list goes on.
Awesome.
So it's almost like you have to use intuitively, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amping up our intuition is a big part of what of everything that is going on, right? And so why not take every opportunity you have just to push your own limits in what can be indicated by symbol or anything else? I wouldn't be surprised, as an example, if somebody held it in the palm of their left hand and then got quiet and they saw a symbol that you wind up drawing, and that becomes a very powerful symbol to be used, you know, for however long it's useful in one's growth process. You know, that's what we're up to here, is transcending the conscious mind. That's what we're up to.
And that's why our show is called Go Beyond. There you go.
There you go. You unbind the potential by transcending the conscious mind. That's how it's done.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you. Ah, wow. Pick a number. Well, I'm not good at picking numbers, so I always go with number one. Isn't that interesting? We have Rose, I think, from California, area code 805. You're on the line.
Yes. Hello.
Hi,
Jason, Karen, and Selma. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have a question in regards to physical issues. I've got digestive issues, and I've tried just about everything, and I have had Lyme's disease in the past, and that really, that's now cleared up, but it I think it caused a lot of issues around my body. But I also still today have the candida and the psoriasis. So I know it's all like related with the immune system and so forth. So I would just like to see if Jason has anything to help me with that.
All right. Well, you know, we can help with a lot of things for sure. And it really all just starts with certain deep elements in the psyche, because there isn't anything that isn't coming from within your own psyche that you're experiencing. And so, again, I'll have to ask the question, do you have the financial ability to get tonight's offering?
Actually, I did purchase it the last time you spoke, so I do have
okay.
it. I use it.
And
I got the prism. And I've
okay.
been...
Then processes are begun, and I think that we're really going to need to be in touch, because this is, you know, a very comprehensive set of topics and issues with you, very comprehensive.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, let's just do it. let's do it. So if
here's
you don't
my question
know how
to you, Jason, is if people have purchased the first offer that you came to the show with and are needing now some one-on-one assistance with you, is that available to those people that purchased the first time around?
Oh, it's available for anybody, actually.
Okay.
At any time.
All right. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay.
So, Rose, do you want to email us and we can put you in touch with Jason, or do you have his contact information?
Yeah, I can email you, and I'll give you my information, and can get a hold of him through you, I guess.
Okay, perfect. Perfect.
Okay, thank you.
Hopefully that'll help.
Okay, great.
Hey, Lilia from Forest Park, Jason, she says, I was told that children with autism are caught between the dimensions. How can you help my son, Nick, be more in this world?
That is a very difficult question. The reason being is because we can by no means be certain that he is not exactly how he needs to be. And so the only thing that we can really do, and by the way, certain let's say, symptoms of autism can be mitigated, and I'm just trying to be careful how I say some of these things because it's really important to understand from my perspective as an example that autism happens to be a very, very powerful way of being. And it really because it is two different worlds, and it's in that way. The autistic children and adults have contact to things that we just can't even quite wrap our brains around. And so that's really the first question to understand is whether or not he actually needs to be changed. And the beauty of some of these kinds of processes is there are certain things we can initiate, and if it's appropriate, he will change. If it's not appropriate, he will not. And then you just accept him exactly the way that he is. And everything that we provide has a bioconductive element to it, and that bioconduction itself can, let's say, cause a chain reaction in any physical system to do the rewiring that would meet with a given objective. And so these alchemies are capable of doing what you think you want done. Now we just have to find out whether or not it's appropriate that it is.
And so I think, too, we're referring, you know, my daughter has the same thing. And as a parent, it's just for us, we just want them to belong, to be able to fit in. And so, of course, that's a judgment that we're making as a parent. But it's really hard for us just to say, oh, well, that's the way he is.
I know it.
It's the toughest thing.
Especially for a mother, because mothers have that protective, nurturing thing in orders of magnitude beyond the male element. And often, if, for instance, a mother is being asked to accept a child the way that they are, often it feels as though they're abandoning the effort.
Yeah.
And that's a really tough thing to do and to let go of. But there are ways that you know, deeper understandings can be accomplished in a hurry. And so that might be exactly what's up here. It's, for instance, what did we say this woman's name is?
Her son's name is Nicholas. Yeah. What was the mom's name? Selma?
Just hang on, yeah.
Well, maybe we'll just say Nicholas's
Lilia.
Mother.
Lilia.
It could be that in some way she is the one that needs to open up to something greater and deeper within herself before we even begin to address this absolutely staggeringly great being who is her son.
That could be a whole call on its own. But let's get on to our next question. It looks like a cell phone from Oregon, area code 541. If you could tell us your name and your question for Jason, please.
Hello.
Hello. Hi. Who are we speaking
to? Oh, this is Mary Beth.
Hi, Mary Beth.
Hi.
Hey, Mary Beth.
Hi, guys. I had a question, and I missed the last part of the show. I had to click off for a minute, so I feel a little bit out of sync here. So I think I'll just pass and let somebody else talk right
now. Okay. We appreciate that. Okay.
Thanks.
Okay. Donna from Texas. Jason, is there a symbol that will assist with raising financial vibrations?
That dollar sign works, doesn't it, Donna?
That one, especially it goes bling, 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 bling.
Well, I instantly got one, and I think it's specific to you, and so we just have to figure out how to be in touch so that I can just provide a sketch.
Okay, so for Donna?
To email us, and we can pass that on to Jason.
Yeah, yeah. So
that
Donna from
good?
Texas? Yeah, just email us, and Jason, we'll give you that symbol then.
Perfect.
right. Okay, we've got, it's our Alberta friend, area code 403. I forgot your first name.
Denise.
Hi, Denise. What's your question for Jason?
I want to first thank you for doing this for the world. I'm very excited about the telepathy end of things and the alchemy. I've been wondering where I could learn this thing for myself or for to be able to help the world also and help myself because I'm dealing with an autoimmune disease also.
At the end of this call, we're going to be giving a website, which is a project website that we're just getting going. It's not officially launched or anything, but there are still tools and many people signing up there. And the reason we're going to be giving that at the end of this call is because we, in a lot of our conferences over the years, after the conference is over, everybody still wants to go chat and hang out and be together. And that particular website has a chat function that we can all go use. And then on that website is also a system that is going to be a big part of this upcoming project and is actually working extremely powerful for a small group of us that we fully intend to grow. And so that particular system has everything to do with the beginnings of opening up telepathic channels. And then as you stated, you are going to be simply involved going forward with us and with this group of people and this growing group of people that you know are associated with Karen and Salma, and we're all just sort of finding each other right now. And the truth is that fully engaging in everything that we're going to do is going to be extremely powerful in a healing way. And it's going to be doing it on levels of mind that can almost bring about spontaneous relief, as an example, where you almost become forgetful of the condition itself while certain things are being taken care of, and then suddenly the conditions just no longer exist. And that kind of stuff is easily possible, and I can do that. But in doing that, it's often inappropriate because I would therefore be robbing people of a necessary experience, as an example. For instance, any condition is actually an experience awaiting to be learned from. And that stuff's important, it really is. And that's where the recognition comes in and a whole bunch of other factors. And learning in the way that we're talking about actually equips everybody that is going to be involved and fully engaged in what we're doing with some really potent abilities to be able to handle this on their own.
Okay.
Wow.
Sounds exciting, Denise?
Oh, I'm just so thrilled. Yeah.
Great.
I bought the package, and I've just started to use it, and something's different. I just can't even put my finger on it yet. Today was the first day I used the spray, but I've had it under my pillow for a week, and I've been getting some unbelievably wonderful dreams, and clear, and I remember them, that's why I decided today was the day to start spraying. I sprayed my face and my mouth, and I am a musician, and I seem to be clearer today for some reason because my brain's been in la-la land for quite some time. So I thank you. And the powder, I have been doing exactly what Jason was saying, putting it in the palm of my hand and ingesting it, and it just tingles to me. I just don't know. I'm just letting it permeate me, and I'm again extremely grateful for this. I've been waiting a long time, and it's the new wonderful ancient thing of the world. Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing. That's a blast. That's beautiful. I love hearing it.
Yeah, wonderful.
You're
Thanks
welcome
again, Denise.
Thank you.
Wow, your products do make a difference in the world, Jason. Okay, Jessa from Novato says, can the pineal gland become blocked?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's artificial electromagnetic frequencies such as the power and walls can block it, which is, by the way, one of the really good reasons to study feng shui, because you can actually ameliorate those currents to some extent. You know, I mean, you probably read all these kinds of things, but physically speaking, fluoride actually crystallizes on the pineal gland and upsets the way the magnetite crystals function. Many people in the world, by the way, now, and especially the United States of America, have blocked third eyes, believe it or not, because they were direct witnesses to a coming cataclysmic event when Atlantis went down. And they were seeing what was coming through their third eyes, and they were so horrified by it that coming into this embodiment, they've actually blocked them. And I realize that the pituitary is what is associated with the third eye, but the pineal gland is associated with both the crown and the third eye, because it's like saying if you're going to receive information through your crown, you're going to have to be able to have a way to decode that information, and decoding it is what's done with the third eye. And so there was wholesale third eye blocking going on in Atlantis. And it's not just them, because there were other cataclysmic epochs throughout this experiment that we're currently involved in.
Interesting. Okay, let's go to Fort Lauderdale, area code 954. You could tell us your name and your question for Jason, please.
Hi, is that me?
That would be you.
Hi, this is Suzanne.
It's you.
Hi,
it is me. Thank you for taking my call. Jason, I just love you. I've talked with you previously, and I've been taking some of your alchemy, and it does have a life of its own. It is amazing stuff. I think everyone should be using it. I really don't have a specific question, but I wondered if you'd like to take a look at me and see if there's something that you want to say to me. Or I need to know.
Okay. All right. So there are, have you got a pen and a piece of paper handy?
Yes.
Unless you're a flash artist, you know, meaning that you could, you know, be like a cartoonist and do a self-portrait of yourself that would be breathtaking, you know, maybe what you do is just make a quick stick figure of yourself.
Okay.
And on that figure, it's interesting, would be kind of overlaying, in fact. I'm going to leave this entirely up to you. Find the tree of life according to the Kabbalah. Okay?
Over my body?
You could just Google that, you know, and find an image so that you know exactly what it looks like, and then superimpose that Kabbalah intuitively. Use your intuition completely to do this. Superimpose the image of that Kabbalah, just its lines and its centers, on your stick figure body, or even do it just, you know, with your eyes closed, and do it after we hang up. And
I can visualize that. Yes, I can do that.
Just do it after we hang up. And the way that I'm seeing it is that you have the peak of the Kabbalah, and then you have the two highest centers on the sides, so that it, you know, they come down in a triangle shape from the peak. That those two centers would be just outside but touching your shoulders. And so those would be the proportions. So the first center would be basically touching the top of your head, and the next two down would be either side of your shoulders, just sort of overlapping your body.
Okay.
And then everything else would be proportionately correct.
Okay.
That's going to deliver something pretty cool. I don't know what, but it's going to be pretty cool.
It's a surprise.
So I should just meditate on that image, and it will speak to me.
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
What we're gonna be doing at the end of this show, as a matter of fact, should put you in a perfect mind space for it. So.
All right. Okay. Well, that's very cool. Thank you so much. And keep doing what you're doing.
Thank
it's
you.
Marvelous work. Blessings
to you.
Thanks, Suzanne.
Thank you. All right, Jason. Stacy from York, she's saying hi to all. Jason, I'm wondering if there is something to help me move beyond where I am so that I can do some type of energetic healing as a service for others. Or maybe that's not my path, but have felt that's what I should do for quite a while. How would you answer, Stacy?
I would say that anybody with the curiosity that culminated in being involved with this call is on the path of healing, because that's the one thing that all this is about. When we say healing, we're referring to essentially purification. We're not healing anything because there's something wrong. We're healing things because they exist as a feature of mind, and so we're healing mind. That's what we're doing. And if we're healing mind, we're purifying our systems of being, and not just our bodies, because our bodies are just an outpicturing of the deeper conscious levels of mind. And so the answer to your question is that you have followed the breadcrumbs you left for yourself to this point. Now just continue to walk in it. And what we're going to be doing with these upcoming projects is so ridiculously powerful that it's going to actually be mind-blowing for many people. And I can tell you in no uncertain terms whatsoever that you want to be involved in that project. And that is the website that we're going to be giving at the end of this call.
All right. Hope that helps, Stacy. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we have a cell phone caller from Wayne, Michigan, area code 634. If you could tell us your name and your question for Jason, please. Hello?
Is that me?
That would be
Hello?
You.
Oh,
Hello?
Hey. Yes, actually, Montrose, Michigan, it's a cell phone, sorry. Thank you very much for the information on autism. My son is autistic. That's not necessarily what I expected to come through tonight, but it did kind of remind me of why I don't want to say I saw enlightenment, but I think he was the catalyst that, anyway, I guess at the end of the day, this entire thing is completely different for me now from when I first called in, and I suppose at this point I would have the same question as the other lady. Is there anything that you would tell me that I could do or meditate on to help further that seeking enlightenment or what have you?
Yeah, you know, there's the way that your system of being and the way that you are wired, and it goes without saying that includes your physical brain, and I'm sure you're aware of the fact that when we say mind, that it is a much larger holographic representation than the local, gray matter stuff of the brain, right? And so if you were, for instance, to set out to rewire your own neural pathways, you'd be doing it on levels of mind that extend obviously far beyond the confines of your brain. The way that you're wired is really amazingly similar to the way that your son is wired. And you have the capability, as we speak, of being able to get into deep and quiet places and to allow yourself to perceive him as energy and geometric form. And that is going to teach you on levels that you're going to find really enlightening and surprising and fun.
That's pretty cool. I remember before he was born, my wife and I were, you know, imagining having a son. And I described his color of hair, his eyes, and I just told her he was going to be amazing. Then he was, you know, it was pretty tough for her when they diagnosed him as autistic. But he's really amazing. Anyway, I really appreciate what you're doing. Thank you very much for taking the time tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you for his call. Look for his gifts every day.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Thank you for calling him.
Thank you for adding that.
Okay, Keeney from Ottawa, hope I'm pronouncing that. Hi, Karen, Selma, Jason. Would appreciate some guidance or clearing to help me make the right choice on my career path. I feel I am at crossroads. Blessings. What could you say to Keeney?
The trajectory of personal purpose is always kind of difficult to ascertain, because the truth is in the ever larger schemes, it's impossible to make the wrong decision. And so often what we're talking about, for instance, is, you know, the huge debate on you know, what free will is, for instance, and this may seem obscure at the moment, but it won't in just a minute. If you look at free will, what you're talking about is the freedom to make personal choices. But the problem with that is that there is still a limitation to what those choices are. And therefore, there is something out there, for instance, that is controlling which choices you are presented with. And in that respect, you have to ask yourself, oh, well, that being the case, do I really have free will? And so the way that you escape, let's say, the fairly limited bindings of the thinking processes is to go ahead and use meditative techniques to get quiet, open, and allow, and just with an open and soft expectancy almost, where you just picture yourself as nothing but a being that's, you know, like a flower, and just be open and accepting and understanding, for instance, that it is that you are thoroughly supported and loved by intelligent beings who are interlaced with your life, and then just allow the choice, as an example, to make itself. But be open to the idea that even broader, higher level choices are going to be presented to you because of this new way of thought.
Right? Yeah. Wonderful.
Thank you. Maybe just take one more question from the dashboard, and maybe one from the listener, and then we'll go to Jason's energy healing.
Okay. I don't know who to pick here. I'm going to go here with, is it Donna from Maryland, area code 301? You're on the line?
Yes, hi. How are you?
Good, thank you. What's your question for Jason?
Actually, my question was, I wanted to get a reading, if that's possible.
What do you see there, Jason?
Well, it's, you know, obviously equipped with very little information on a conscious level. All I see is really difficult and erratic emotional body, and which might be indicating physical conditions that, or maybe what you're really asking about.
Yes.
Um, It's something that, again, in the scope of this call would be extremely difficult to do. And so, you know, and I want to make a point of something, and that is that, you know, we've been asking people tonight if you have the financial resources to acquire that package. And I and Karen and Salma are, you know, are not attached to the monetary element as much as may seem or something like that. It's the reason that I keep asking that is because that package is going to begin a process of helping to a large extent, even unto, you know, complete solutions. And, you know, and therefore it's the place to start, despite, as an example, what I might see in any sort of a reading. Now, if what you're asking is, you know, I think, in fact, what I'm seeing might be too private to even go into right now. So is there a way that that we can, you know, be in touch, for instance, if you'd like to go through Karen and Salma to be in contact with me?
Okay, I'll do that.
Yeah, just send us a quick email.
Okay.
Yeah, and then we'll pass your information on to Jason so you can meet. Okay?
Okay, thanks a lot.
Perfect, you're welcome.
Does that sound good?
Yeah, that's perfect. That's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do that, because I would have to ask you questions you don't want to ask here.
Right. All right. Okay, I'm going to take a last question from the dashboard before Jason does an energy transmission for us. Okay, Pat from Priest River, Idaho. She says, greetings, question. In 1985 at 3 a.m., March 25th, a 3-foot sphere of golden white light appeared in my room. Then an electric vibration ran through my body 3 times. After this, I saw many symbols for hours and could not sleep for days. Do you know who this being was? Thank you, Pat.
Yes, it was you.
Okay, it was you.
Oh, Pat, you're powerful.
Mm-hmm.
It was that. You know, we opened this call tonight by stating that there is a great being who seeks to integrate, and interestingly enough, that being doesn't necessarily set out to present itself in any given form, and therefore just leaves it up to your own perception how to perceive it, and a sphere happens to be a great way to do it. That's why there are so many of those, what do you call them, orbs and things like that. It's how the human eye, third eye, brain interpretive mechanism arranges that information into a recognizable form. So it's a sphere. But in your case, it was you. Well, what a spectacular experience.
How powerful are you. Thank you. Okay. Okay. Well, we want to, of course, thank everybody for their questions. And there's so many. We just don't have, you know, time to get to everybody. We do thank you for responding. Now, Jason, you've always given us such momentous moments. How about ending this Q&A with an energy session for everyone?
Okay, let's see how to do this. It's the kind of thing where it's going to be a really deep and peaceful and beautiful place. And I don't know if, for instance, we want to, you know, okay, now that you're there, do you want to write down the following website? why don't we do that first?
Okay.
And this is just for a post, you know, show chit chat. You know, it's nothing formal. We've done it a bunch of times. We have a lot of great people, really smart, advanced people that we are as a group, and we just go there and we just have fun, and that's all. You know, that's the only way I can think of to put it. And that website is quite simply thesuperbeings.com, and that's just thesuperbeings.com.
Is that a membership site? Do they have to create a login and things like that, or?
All of the content that is eventually going to be available, and there are some tools there. You don't have to join to use any of the tools and things like that. But I do believe you have to have an account to be able to use the chat, because
okay.
it has to have a way to be able to identify you. But you know, it's a free sign up, and if you're at all compelled to be involved with what we as a group are going to be doing moving forward, that's the most efficient way to stay apprised of what's going on. And so it's kind of a sensible thing to do to just go sign up anyway.
And to connect with like-minded people. Awesome.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a social network site with all the social functions and on and some great tools. And so it's,
Okay.
The official launch for which is I was hoping to be able to launch, that whole project by the end of this month, but clearly it's the end of the month and I'm not there yet. So it'll launch when it does, but it's coming, and it is going to be way powerful for participants, and I mean way powerful.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Okay. Thank you for sharing that resource with our listeners. Okay,
are we ready?
We're ready, Freddie.
Okay, what we're going to do is just sort of build on the brainwave states that we were able to induce at the beginning of this when we invoked universal mind, which is like saying source or God or spirit or whatever anyone prefers. And now we're just going to deepen that, but also use a symbol to pierce through to some potential that is specific to you. So let's go ahead and get into that rhythmic controlled breathing method, where it's inhale through the nose and a controlled exhale. And that exhale is really just allowing yourself to deflate. And by control, what is meant is almost like the way you could control the deflating of a balloon. And just breathe that way, and just be in the silence, and just listen to my voice. Now let's get you into fuller relaxation. And let's relax your forehead completely. And let's double check this relaxation. In other words, maybe you feel like you've relaxed it, but if you go back and revisit it, you might find that you're able to relax it even more. So relax your forehead. And a good way to do that is to also relax your eyebrows and to relax your eyes. Now relax your jaw and now your throat. Now moving with warmth into your chest with this particular exhale, allow yourself to deflate into a complete relaxation of your chest. And then pick up your breathing normally. Let's move into a boundless space of imagination. There are no walls, floor, or ceiling. Floating in front of you is a galaxy. It's as though it could be millions of miles away, or it could be at arm's length. No matter what, you can touch it. Now, little by little, allow the image of a flower to superimpose upon that galaxy. This flower is royal blue, maybe a little darker, with streams of dark violet and tips of gold at the ends of the petals. It's a completely exotic flower, a completely exotic being, never seen in this world. Its petals flowing out and matching the shape and trajectories of the spiral arms of the galaxy. Now move closer to the flower galaxy. Closer still. Peer into its depth where the petals merge into a darkness at the center, where only golden white stamen poke out but can barely be seen. These are energetic. Now allow the visualization of your awareness to dive into the center of that flower. Dive completely into it, into the unknown. And once through, what is seen or experienced is especially yours. Now we will ask Universal Mind to show or convey anything most pivotal for your growth in this moment. We'll remain in silence for 7 minutes for this process to complete. All righty, Karen and Selma, what would you like to do? Should we just...
Well, you know, it'd be interesting to see what people's experience was with that. And
sure.
Then we'll just honor everybody's time and the call. But I'd like to see what came in here.
Sounds great.
So folks, if you have any experience you'd like to share with us from this this process that Jason just guided us through, we'd love to hear from you.
What is that process called? Like, do you have a name for that?
No, I just sort of, you know, got in a quiet place this afternoon and just let it come to me how the best way to get a bunch of different minds into a single space, if you will, through a symbol. And so, you know, but these are the kinds of things that we're going to be doing all the time.
Wonderful. And Selma just disappeared. Look at that. Did you make her disappear? She just gone. Oh, look at the things that you can do. Oh, my goodness. I see Randy's got his hand raised. Randy, do you have anything you'd like to share from that experience?
Hi. Yes, thank you. So what I experienced is, first of all, I'm really grateful for your work and your ability to express yourself in so many levels of awareness. What I experienced was myself as the Merkaba, a point of light in the center of the Merkaba, and then enclosed in the orb, like surrounded, like the Merkaba fit into the orb, and I was able to experience my sense of self as that point of light, and the Merkaba being my vehicle to travel anywhere I choose, like out into the universe to bring back packets of photon light, was my first experience years ago with that. Now, where it got confusing, I got into the scene. I saw it. I first saw the one pyramid, and then I saw the other pyramid, and it was inside the orb. And then through some teaching, I was led to believe that both have to spin to the left, whereas in my original experience, one spun to the right and one spun to the left. So I got a little hung up with my mind at that point. But what's your interpretation of how we travel as that point of light? And
well, it's and you had things that are counter-rotating, right?
My first experience that came to me without guidance other than to be with someone else who knew what they were doing it, yeah, that was, I had counter-rotating. But since then I've been taught, which to have them both spin to the left, but I'm not as fluid with that yet.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's actually counter-rotating fields which can create a zero point. I think it's obvious you're familiar with the Vesica Pisces.
Learning. No, I'm not. More so.
The Vesica Pisces.
Go ahead.
The Vesica Pisces is that you know, that oval-shaped but with points. Area that would exist between two intersecting circles.
Okay, yeah.
And
definitely.
So,
Right, exactly.
And so what you're, you know, what's going on is that without your effort, really, you know, your visualization effort, they're going to wind up in sync but counter-rotating, because that's where the zero point is going to be struck.
That's really valuable.
And naturally where, you know, with everything that we're talking about, for instance, when we use the sun to amp up, for instance, our own electromagnetic fields, you know, which sort of begins and ends with the pineal gland, because one way or another, you're going to have to be able to visualize where it is you want to go, right? And And so once that electromagnetism is doing what it needs to do, there is no, for instance, differentiating between the DNA and the Merkaba. And so the Merkaba is, in effect, electromagnetism.
One more quick one. As I express myself with prana or intention or telepathy, okay, now, as I express myself out, I have an interpretation of, I'm experiencing such a wide spectrum between the infinite nature and the bliss and the divine, and then there's the pain and the congested and other things that and the fear that you pick up from the collective. I don't want to express that stuff, so I get a little hung up in my expression, not wanting to share such a wide spectrum of stuff.
Yeah, and
is there a way to discern and project relative to how do you articulate your expression so that it's not so wide spectrum? It's more the cream.
Well, it seems to me, I could be dead wrong, that articulation is somewhat perfect as it is. And let me see if I can, because I by no means have all the answers, but all I can do is respond, with something that kind of makes sense to me, and that's that if as an example, you were to question, and I'm not saying you have any, but let's say that you have a block, some sort of a blockage, and you want to look at that, the presence of that blockage from the widest or the largest perspective. And what that perspective is that blockage is needed right now as a governing factor for you to keep from doing something to the world that it is not ready for. Right? And so in that respect, you could say all blockages are needed until they're no longer needed. And when they're no longer needed, then you're going to automatically find somebody to help you get rid of it, or you're going to get rid of it on your own.
Interesting. And thank goodness for my relationship with nature that's so open to, exchange such a wide spectrum.
The biosphere, is really a representation of a macrocosm of your own vegetable body. And it already knows what to do with the energy that you're packing around and can flow into it or whatever to be, dealt with. And being, of course, its own intelligence grid, it knows precisely what to do with it.
Love you, girls. Thanks for
the opportunity. Thank you. Can we just give everybody the URL of your post-show chit-chat forum again? A lot of people are asking, Jason.
Oh, sure. It's thesuperbeings.com, and that's THES as in Sam, UP as in Paul, ER, B as in boy, EI, N as in Nancy, G as in Greg, S as in Sam.com.
We'll also put that on the, we'll put that link on the replay email that goes out as well so that everybody has access to that. Wow. An amazing call again, Jason. Thank you so much. You're just so generous.
Thank you.
So wise. And you have so many people that just love you to death. We're so grateful. Thank you very much.
Me too. Thank you so much.
Yeah. To you, our wonderful listeners, thank you for taking time out of your very busy schedules, staying up to this late hour for those on the East Coast to join us on the Unbounded Potential Go Beyond interviews. We appreciate each and every one of you and your commitment to being more empowered. Can't wait to see you back here as the journey continues. Create amazing, everyone. Thank you and good night.
Good night.
Good night.
We truly hope you enjoyed today's presentation to assist you in going beyond.
Until next time, be more, love more, live more, and never settle for less.